The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. Jesus went out along the sea. All the crowd came to him, and he taught them. As he passed by, he saw Levi, son of Alphaeus, sitting at the customs post. Jesus said to him, "Follow me." And he got up and followed Jesus. While he was at table in his house, many tax collectors and sinners sat with Jesus and his disciples, for there were many who followed him. Some scribes, who were Pharisees, saw that Jesus was eating with sinners and tax collectors and said to his disciples, "Why does he eat with tax collectors and sinners?" Jesus heard this and said to them, "Those who are well do not need a physician, but the sick do. I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners." The Gospel of the Lord.
Yeah, it's always a good gospel passage for us, the calling of Levi, the calling of Matthew, and we see any number of things I think that are still pertinent for our instruction, right? I mean, one is that the larger frame of reference here is Jesus and his ministry, Jesus and his mission, and we see him giving voice to his own mission here at the end, where he says, "Those who are well do not need a physician, but the sick do. I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners." Another translation has, "I did not come to call good people, but bad people." Is that compelling? Because you're a bad person, you know. I'm greatly consoled when I read that. Say, did not come to call good. Because why am I greatly consoled when I hear that? Jesus say, "I didn't come to call good people. I came to call bad people." Because I know that I've got that in my heart, one, the bad person. And I know, of course, and whether we try to philosophize about it to make it clean or controllable, right? We call it something like concupiscence, or we just say I know that I've got it in me to be a bad person. I know that I tend toward my own selfish ends. Whenever people stop watching me, I know, right? All this kind of stuff. But also, it's where does the burden of being a good person fall? Where does it lie? Is it on me or is it on God? Right? So is it like in my life, do I have to be a good person, build up my curriculum vitae for, right, my CV, my resume for being a good person before I can convince God that I'm a good person and then he can be in my life and then he'll call me, then he'll save me. And it's not that way around. I mean, one, we see in other places in the scriptures, the idea really is that Jesus is not his mission is not to make bad men good. It's to make dead men alive. And so it's him breathing his life into us that enables us to live the way of God. So this is why I think this is like the legitimate way to say there's consolation here in this passage when Jesus says that. Because he's the one, again, he's the one taking initiative. He's the one who's in charge. He's the one calling the shots. He's the one calling us. He's the, right? And we say, calling us. Oh, he's picked me for this team. But like, me? Yes, you. And he's going to equip you to do it. Yes, you. And it's good that the task of, whether it's going the way of peace, going the way of love, following Jesus on the way, bringing God's love to life in the world, it's good that all those things seem beyond you because they are beyond you. It's just that Jesus has called you to it and then he is equipping you for it. It's that dynamic that allows you to do what he's called you to do. And anytime you say to yourself, you know what, I'll take it from here, Jesus, you know that the fall is coming, right? You know that everything's gonna fall apart. So it's our dependency on him, right? And so it's right, again, that the whole passage, just as the whole scripture, it rotates around Jesus or revolves around Jesus. So we see that here. But we see there are other things going on. I want to at least point to a couple of things that are going on. One is that, of course, this is a very divided society here. Not us. I mean, we are. Okay, so that's why it's good to look at this. But they are a very divided society. And, there's all kinds of camps. And you're introduced to any number of them in this passage. The Pharisees. You were introduced in a kind of, behind the scenes way, the Herodians. And Herod Antipas at this time, the ruler in this particular piece of Israel, is himself trying to become known as and trying to occupy the seat of, say, King of the Jews, right? He's a royal aspirant in that sense. Like he aspires to that role. But then we know that Jesus is the King of the Jews. And the translation from one camp to another in this sense, right? Like Levi getting up out from underneath the service of Herod Antipas and joining the movement of Jesus, going from one king of the Jews to the other. That's a big move. That's a big move. And of course, Jesus is going to do everything he can to encourage it and not discourage it. But yet the Pharisees, who are not this, they're not aligned particularly well with any of these camps because they're their own political pressure group. They don't like the movement of, say, Levi from one camp to another, or the idea that Jesus has this camp and they are the ones who have not determined what the boundaries of that camp are. And they're the ones who are then going to say, that guy's not worthy. And then on the other hand, there will be, well, these people would be worthy. And what's happening is as Jesus is pushing out to enact the healing of God in the world for here, sinners, bad people, he's doing it in Israel. He wants to do it through Israel into the world. What's he facing? He's facing a lot of personal, social, cultural, and religious opposition. And still he makes his way. We should expect when we sign on under the rule of Christ Jesus, we're going to face the same. Especially if we're trying to advance Jesus' rule to every corner of creation, we are going to face social, cultural, and even, I would say, let me say, quasi-religious pushback. Because we'll be upsetting, say, traditional distinctions. We'll be upsetting the nice little compartments that people have put other people in. Right? This is what's going to happen. And in order for us to overcome that, we have to keep our eyes, our hearts, our lives trained on Jesus, because he is the one who has made his way through that. He's overcome the opposition by taking it on himself. Right? Even to the opposition of the corrupting and enslaving forces of sin and death. He's taken them on himself in order to bring healing to the world. And yet he calls us today to him, bad people that we are, to be healed by him, to receive his healing and his strength, so that we can follow him on the way and be agents and vehicles of his mercy, his love, his kindness, his compassion, to be vehicles of his forgiving love, his healing and restorative love to whomever he sends us. That's our mission in light of Christ. But again, is it beyond you? Yes, please know that it is. It's a mission that's beyond you. But Jesus has called you to it, and he is equipping you for it, and he will sustain you in it as he sends you.